town. Yeah, this is my town. My town. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Bo Goss and Tracy Black with Marmac Real Estate, and we are continuing our First and Soul Coaches and Community Tour, where we are just going around all over North Alabama and having wonderful opportunity on getting to talk to all these head football coaches in such a great area of the state where football is just basically everything. It's so much fun.
No doubt. And the last few weeks, just as we are gearing up for Media Days coming up on July 21st and 22nd, getting the opportunity to sit down with these coaches individually, getting to know them on a personal level, them sharing their heart, their passion for the game, their passion for the players and the community, it's absolutely been incredible. And today, man, I am pumped up about today because we are on the campus of West Morgan High School. And we have the opportunity to talk to head coach, Drew Phillips. Coach, welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Man, I tell you, every week we get to go through all of North Alabama, and we've talked a little bit off air, Coach, but the connection that you have in North Alabama with some of the greatest coaches that's come out of North Alabama, and you're just another limb, part of their tree. What's that like?
You know, it's special. Sometimes I wonder if I'm really living this thing, you know, or if it's a dream. You know, I knew when I was in seventh grade, I wanted to be a head football coach. And that was going around with my Uncle Jerry Hill and being the ball boy on the sidelines when he was at Central High School and Coffee High School. And then, you know, being connected to him, obviously, family-wise and working for him. And, you know, Bob Godsey, the impact there, Alan Creasy, and Cody Gross. And, you know, I'm just so blessed. I mean, this is a, you know, there's your team here at West Morgan, and then there's your team of guys that you pick up the phone, you call, and it's guys that I work for, guys that I've gotten to know, Chris Yeager, you know, at Mountain Brook, and I've become really good friends. And, you know, I'm just so blessed to be able to do what I do and always have a soundboard with those guys, be able to call them and, you know, talk, you know, football, but really, besides that, life and things that are going on and things that we go through as coaches and we have to live through and work through. So, man, I'll tell you, it's just awesome. It's a true blessing.
You know, Coach, a lot of people around Northwest Alabama, they are fully aware of what West Morgan has done over the last few years. But there's some listeners out there maybe, you know, around the state, around the country that may not be totally aware. And I want to go over just stats right quick. About Coach Phillips. You are entering your fifth season this coming season. And 2021, your first season at West Morgan, you finished out 5-5. Since 2021, Coach Phillips has combined a record of 40-9, including two back-to-back undefeated seasons, 2023, 2024, have not lost a regular season game. And they have had a semifinal appearance, a quarterfinal appearance, and a second-round appearance. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. When you listen to those stats, and then you tell me he's only on year five? I mean, dude, sometimes people go a decade and just get it to the first round. Coach, you got to feel good about that.
I do, man. You know, when you call those numbers out, I think about all the people that it's taken for it to go that way, you know. And one that probably doesn't pop like it should is that 5-5 group. I felt like as coaches, we were able to come in and kind of set the tone. And, you know, we rolled in that year and just hoping to compete. That's kind of one-on-one. Who's going to fight? Who's going to go? And, you know, I thought the guys responded well. We lost two games by a combined of 3 points that year, so it could have been a little bit better. And arguably, our best player got injured the week before the game was out for the rest of the year. Kate Alexander, who was a tremendous leader no matter what. But, you know, regardless, I felt like that year our guys learned how to compete and how to battle. And so that year makes me very proud. And then obviously all the other ones to where we've been able to play in the postseason and do those sort of things. So, you know, it is really cool to look at. It's something I don't look at a lot. But I think about all the people that are involved, all the coaches, the administration, the community members, you know, things I'm sure that we'll talk about. And And that's how we've been able to have success. You know, it's not drawing a perfect play, putting in the perfect defense. It's, chasing the heart of players and that being at the forefront of what we do. And that's been something that we've been able to do and accomplish. And I got an unbelievable staff, just unbelievable men who chase the heart of players and really care about them as people first. And, I think that is a direct reflection of the success that we've been able to have and hopefully sustain.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, though. That's got to be hard to be sustainable, to continue. I think Saban, people used to ask Saban year in and year out, how do you, and, his answer was always, well, this is a different team. This is a different team. That success you talked about last year, that was them. What are you guys going to do? Is that typically how you do that and just to move on and try to just, continue the success?
Absolutely. I think complacency is a killer. And, the minute that I feel like we're a little bit complacent, whether it's myself, I start with me first, our coaches, our players, it has to be addressed. You can't shy away from it. So I think that's huge. We're one day at a time, top mentality, one rep at a time, one play at a time. Whatever happened before, it's awesome and the achievements are great, but it's what are we doing with what we have right now, in this moment? How focused am I right now as a leader doing this to celebrate our community and our team, just like you guys are doing? Just met with our leadership team, and the same message that we had year one is the same message today. Make a difference and bring somebody with you. And, if you're doing those things, I feel like the rest of it kind of takes care of itself. So, absolutely, I think complacency is something we all fight. I think it's human nature to get that way. But if we're, striving each day to improve, to try to maximize the potential of our players and those around us, we have the opportunity to continue it. We don't shy away from it. We know the standard is extremely high, and the people, we talk about the three players we play with, we play for, the people before us, with us, and after us. And those guys that played on that 5-5, 10-2, 13-1, 12, whatever it was, those guys are counting on these guys in that locker room to continue the success that's allowed us to get to where we're at. And so, each day, each rep, each coach at a time, if our JV guys are out there and we go twos, every rep they're getting is just as important as those ones. And the minute that it's not, complacency is an obvious. So we're not developing like we need to. So, I think it's extremely important that we remember that. The way we drive our relationships and our program is sustained. It's not a time to get lazy. It's a time to push even harder, okay, and even more. And I think that's where we're, that's where we're headed, and we're trying to attack each day.
Did you hear that? Three players before us, with us, and after us.
That's right.
Dude.
Well, and that goes back. We were talking with Coach Gosson last week, and he made the statement. The question was, you're at a lot of schools where that talent level just isn't there year in, year out, like there may be like at a Hartsell, at a Muscle Shoals, at a Desher, or place like that. When you have schools that dip like that, Gotsy said, we have to work harder. You just, even the years that you don't think you're as talented, you still got to compete. And so I think that's the mindset that you're speaking of right there. And tell us a little bit about that hard work and what it means to you and your staff.
That's a great point. Coach Gotsy was my head coach in high school and a guy that I talked to on a regular basis. And that's what makes him so great. He has sustained it for so long and won for so long. And what I think makes him really, really good, Tracy, is that he is able every year to adjust to his personnel. He's not a system guy. You're going to run this, certain offense because this is what I believe. No, he takes, yes, what he believes in. Then he takes the players and he puts them in position to be the players that that they're capable of. And so, I think like you said, too, you got to work even harder. Every team is different, like you referred to, Bo, earlier. And, you got to figure out the mentality of each year of each team, okay? And the toughness will never change, all right? But the standard, is going to remain or go up by each team. And I think the standard, is rising here every day. The hard work that you talk about, we didn't wrestle a whole lot this past offseason, but this offseason going into currently going into this season, man, we're competing, we're wrestling, and we're doing some things because we got new faces. You know, we got 9 out of 11 on defense that haven't played. All right, so they've played a ton of JV games. They played some cleanup duty quite a bit in varsity, but you know, we had to do some things in the all season that hard work that had to challenge them mentally, you know, physically, emotionally, and because that's how it is during the middle of the game. So, you know, that's the hard work to us, the consistency of loving our team, loving our players, holding them accountable, holding them to a higher standard, and, you know, just doing it year in and year out. But, yes, every team is different, and you have to adjust, and I think that's what makes guys like Bob Godsey special.
Coach, I can tell you, you know, I grew up in Morgan County in the southwest side of Decatur, and brag a little bit. Let's talk about Trinity. Let's talk about the community of West Morgan High School. I have seen over the last 5 years or so, the community really push West Morgan and really support you, your staff, the boys, the school, and all sports. And it's just been really cool to watch from where I grew up to where they at now. Kudos to you, the faculty here at West Morgan, you know, your administration. Brag a little bit about Trinity and West Morgan.
And yeah, excuse me. Sorry, guys. I'm a little hoarse from practice. You know, it's a special place. I mean, the old saying, the town shuts down when there's a game. That's true. There's nothing open and people are packed and they're here. If you come to a game on a Friday here, you experience something that is great for our players. But it's also an awesome environment for fans and people around them. And, you know, anywhere from Demore Smith, our DJ, okay, that's important to us. It's important we're playing the music to get people up on their feet and want to attend and be a part of. You know, the mayor, Vaughn Goodwin. I mean, you know, if we got a sprinkler head that's messed up, the mayor is going to be out here fixing the sprinkler head. Okay, yeah. That sets the tone for the entirety of the community and town and program. Okay, because if he's out here doing that, all right, what does that say about you as a person, and what are we doing as a community member to do that? And, you know, I pick up the phone and call anybody at any time I feel like that's around, and they'll come up, Coach, what do you need? Okay, we need some sand here. We need some fertilizer here. Joe Hutto paints our field and cuts our field every single week. You know, at a 4A school, we don't have turf, all right? And I hadn't picked up a weed eater or cut grass in a long time. I do the practice field every now and then. But guys like him are coming in and cutting while he's working a full-time job as well, because it matters. His son's not in the program anymore. But he did come through it. Joe was part of that. But he continues to do that because he cares, because it means something to him. And he wants to make a difference. And, you know, I asked him not too long ago, Joe, why do you do this? Why do you cut the grass for me, man? And he said, you know, when I see something special, I want to be a part of it. And he said, I just want to be a small part of this. And come find out, he's a huge part of this. Guys like Brandon Alexander, David Garrison, that's just men, Mark Burgess, Matthew Jones, you know, Dusty Bradford, guys who've come in and just helped our program in so many ways that people really don't understand. Painting goalposts, moving things, pressure washing the bleachers, just things that are huge. We have a lady, Kim Alexander, who flies a drone every practice. She don't have a kid in the program, but she wants to be here. She wants to be part of it. Our administration, Keith Ayers, our principal, you know, when he hired us, he allowed me to get some guys in. And I got an unbelievable staff, just a great group of men. And it starts with the administration. The tone he sets in our school is incredible. He has a relationship with our players, our students. And, you know, when they walk the hallway, if you were to come visit today, I think coaches come and visit our school and they'll go, are the kids at school today? Because you could hear a pin drop down the hallway. There's a respect here in Trinity. There's a sense of pride and community and doing things the right way. And it starts with leadership like him and, you know, Mike Johnson, our assistant principal, athletic director, you know, pulls our trailer every single Friday for us. And his father-in-law, Harry, you know, and they come in and they help prepare meals and things for the team. Just how can we help? How can we help get involved? And, you know, you got moms, you know, on Fridays feeding our players. Our team eats every day together after summer workouts. So we go and we lift, we go out and do football and conditioning, then we go put our feet under a table and we eat together in fellowship. And how do we do that? We got parents in the community and community members that are poured in to feeding our guys and understand the importance of nutrition and protein. But really, guys, it's the importance of,
And the fellowship part of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's so cool.
You know, so, I mean, we got a great group of leaders. Our staff is tremendous teachers. You know, I have a good relationship with every one of them. You know, if our player maybe, you know, slacking off a little bit, they're not going to just punish them out of nowhere. You know, if they need to, obviously they will, but they're going to send me a text, hey, coach, how's so-and-so doing? He's kind of slacking a little bit. That is so key and so important. The relationship side of everything. So I'm so proud of the town of Trinity and what they do. And a Friday night is so dang fun. Those fireworks shoot off and that music's going and that sideline's ready to go. And there's, you know, smoke coming across the field on a Friday. I got chill bumps right now. But that is the environment that our players, number one, have created and that the community's bought into.
Yeah, Tracy, have you ever had an opportunity to come to a West Morgan home game?
Dude, I've had the opportunity to be a fan here and coach here, and I know all about that sound system. There's not one around like it. I promise you that.
You know that y'all do. What is that? The players' walk? What do y'all call it? The rebel walk? Maybe.
Yeah, we do a walk of champions.
Yeah.
We named it that before we were champions.
Yeah,
but it's good now because we won some region championships now. But
yeah,
but we walk down, you know, from the facility here down to the field and. The community's lined up with shakers, and they do a cook-off every week, and they got tents set up, and there's, you know, smells really good walking down.
Yeah.
I want to eat sometimes, but they're cooking down there, and the cheerleaders and bands lined up, and we walk down the old field house. So we just try to embrace that, you know, that little walk that we have to do, and our players enjoy it, and it's fun. But the Walk of Champions is very special. I'm glad you brought that up because that's a very special thing that we do every single week.
Yeah, man, it's like they're a tailgating at, you know, any college that you go to. There's a section, and he's right, man. There's tents everywhere. And as a visitor, you pull through here, and you're looking for a place to park, and you're like, good Lord, what in the world's going on, man? This place is booming.
Yeah, but, those visitors sitting in that locker room, when they go walking by, it's an intimidating moment for sure. Coach, let me ask you this. Let's talk about family for a minute. You mentioned your uncle, legendary coach Jerry Hill. Your grandfather is Harlan Hill, another legend. So at a young age to now, what kind of influence has had a family members like that had on you that had that drive to be a coach and to pour back into these young men?
Hey, before you go, I had no idea that Coach Harlan Hill was your granddad.
Yeah.
You learn something new every week.
Dude, I do. I learn something new every week. That is really neat. That's cool.
You know, it's crazy because my grandfather would rarely talk about playing. I'd have to just, like, pry it out of him, you know. He wanted to talk about life and how I was doing and everything else. You know, I moved in with them, with my grandparents, when I was probably sixth grade, and I lived with them up until I got married. You know, backing up, my mother, first of all, is an extreme competitor, and she's very opinionated in the stands, and so I get my emotions from her, and the drive and the heart there, and then my father, Mark Phillips, he growing up, he was a hard nosed, you know, worker that worked at Wise and Reynolds, and had some demons like we all have to go through, and so it's kind of a better situation for me at that time. But I'm so close to both of them now; it's just come full circle. It's made our relationship so much better, to be honest, and they've taught me so much. And you know, but when my grandfather, you know, he people say, "Oh, your grandfather's Harlan Hill." You know, and I thought it was so cool, but I didn't look at him that way. You know, I looked at him as the grandfather. You know, he's grandpa to me, and taught me a lot of hard lessons, and probably should have got on me a lot more than he did at times. But you know, he taught hard work and commitment. He taught me how to push mow their entire land when I was young, and oh my gosh, it was a lot of it on the hill on Highway 43. And then he advanced me to doing a ride lawnmower, and he gave me a little bit more freedom there. But, you know, the consistency and the toughness was big. And my Aunt Jackie lived with us as well. And, you know, my aunt taught me a lot about organization and just how to do little things. You know, make your bed, put your clothes up. And I still struggle with that, you know, do the dishes. And my grandmother, you know, Virginia Hill Ginger, she taught me that hard work as well. And as they got older, it flipped a little bit, you know, and I took care of them. And I was, you know, I would take care of my grandfather and you know, this strong burly man that everybody knew, you know, and later on in his life, you know, he got sicker and some things had gone down with his body, like we all are going to be one day. And, you know, I was able to return the favor and what perfect, but, you know, I learned and served him. And so, you know, it taught me a lot about life, you know, and he's a tremendous influence on my life, hard worker. And just like my grandmother was, she was an educator as well. And so they played a huge part in what I did. And, you know, I remember my first year of college, I sat in school for about 3 days and I walked out the door and said, I'm never doing this again. And I quit. I was living with my grandfather. And I thought, I'm not going to tell him about it, you know. And I went and worked and made some good money and hated it. And the only thing I ever loved was football. So, you know, anyway, he found out and gave me some tough love there. It was, you know, you get your ear back in school or you're not going to be here, and taught me a lesson right there. And I put my head down and I worked hard. You know, my family helped me. My sister, an unbelievable human and person, and, you know, had a huge influence on me and really showed me the way how to work hard. A lot of my cousins and just big family just poured into me, you know. And so that helped significantly. I met my wife. And she kind of taught me how to study and do things. Met her in college. And, you know, she kind of taught me the way of how to go about some things in college and how to handle things as far as being a mature person when it came to school. And also, I know it's a lot there, but so many people have had such an impact on me. And, you know, my Uncle Jerry Hill gave me the opportunity to be a head middle school coach at 21. You know, that was a big deal. I learned to not only cut grass and paint and organize practice, but how to fundraise, how to keep up with things. And so I was equipped pretty early on with, you know, how to really live life. And I just owe so much of that to so many different people.
I've noticed that you've used the word impact a lot. You know, you've got to experience, several of your players have got to experience by being first and sole player of the week. And I can remember when I came over to give out a Player of the Week award, you had a speech that you gave the players in the locker room, and you talked about the impact that somebody like Sean Garth and Shamarvion Mosley and several of those people like that, how they left an impact because somebody left an impact for them, and that you were challenging them. What impact are you going to make today? And so hearing you talk about what the family's done for you and the impact, what does the word impact mean to you?
You know, an impact is, the way I look at it is, you know, our success isn't necessarily determined. We all know if you don't win, you get fired. I mean, yeah, that's part of it. But are we making a difference in our guys? And you base that, for me, I base that off of, you know, am I getting wedding invitations? Am I getting invitations or getting sent a text when a former player had a kid? You know, am I getting that phone call at 2 a.m. when that kid is really down and out because, you know, there's a domestic situation at their home or they just can't sleep or whatever is going on mentally? You know, if I'm getting those things, I'm probably having an impact. You know, the day that kind of stops and my phone stops ringing from players, you know, former and current, you know, then that impact probably hadn't happened. So, you know, I think it's really getting out of yourself and make it, and speaking positive words. You know, our leadership team meeting today was the power of the tongue, and how what we say over people is so big. You know, you guys have been in here for 20 minutes or however long, and you've said 3 or 4 statements that spoken life over me. You know, whether you know it or not, you've prophesied over my life just like that. And I had people do that to me, to say, Coach, you're going to be special. There's something in you that's different. Well, you start believing it, and that's an impact. And I think what we say carries so much weight to the people around us, to our players, to our coaches, that, man, we got to protect and their mind and their soul. And, you know, we got to coach them hard. They don't get it twisted. But speaking life over them and letting them know that this is where you're at, but, man, this is what I see in you that you can't see. That's impact. So I think we define it, again, as, are we getting those phone calls when that kid is having a bad day? Are we getting that phone call when that kid just got hired at a job? And, you know, Braxton Peters, I told him the other day, he was a quarterback. He said, Coach, you know, I'm about at the top. My air conditioning group is that I got one guy I'm chasing. He said, but man, the things that I learned in football about how to play the next play, do the next right thing. He said, Coach, I'm right there at it. He said, some of these other guys have been here a little bit longer. And, you know, that's what I realized we've had an impact when you get that kind of statement, those kind of things.
That's great.
You said he had chill bumps earlier. Like, look at that. It's crazy.
You know, Coach, you talk about Coach Hill. And so probably anybody under 50, when they say Coach Hill, they're talking about Coach Jerry Hill. But 50 and older, we're talking about Harlan Hill. So I attended Brooks High School, graduated in the mid-80s. Harlan Hill was my principal. And I can remember, you talk about impact. We could be in town. There was a place called Woolco Park, a lot of everybody used to hang out back in the day. And you could be out there and everybody be sitting around tailgating stuff. Somebody would say, Coach Hill, Coach Hill. And everybody like freak out, you know. Like, that was the impact that that man had. I mean, he was, it was amazing. It was amazing having him. And when we were seniors, he would let all the senior football players come over homecoming week. We'd spend the night one night at his house. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, he would do that year in, year out. And I mean, just an incredible figure in the community. And just, I mean, just absolutely. I know that has to be an honor to talk about your grandfather like that. I mean, it is. It's amazing because he's made an impact on so many lives.
Absolutely. I mean, his legacy is just what he's left on people is incredible. You know, my friends would come over and he'd just slide them a $20 bill here and there, you know, and just, you know, and that was a big deal. And I remember when I first started coaching, I went and saw him and I said, Grandpa, I said, he wanted to watch the film and we were terrible. We were at Randolph and we were not very good. I thought I was going to take everything I learned at Brooks and apply it to Randolph, and it worked. Well, I was coaching system. I wasn't coaching people, you know, and what players can do. I was going to do, my gosh, it's my way kind of thing. Anyway, I'm showing him. I said, this kid just can't do this or that. I said, you know, and he's acting a fool outside of football. You know, he's not doing this. I walk in the locker room, and I hear him cussing, and I hear him speaking down and all this stuff, and I'm just going on. He said, well, you know, how they talk. He said, you know, sometimes you gotta act like you don't hear or see everything. And I thought, what do you mean? I felt like you addressed everything with me, Grandpa, you know. Yeah. And he said, no, he said, sometimes you gotta give them a little freedom. And so, you know, I hear you say that. People were talking about he walked down the hall and people were moving.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think he knew more than he acted like sometimes just by that statement. But he knew and he said, you got to pick and choose your battles, you know. And he taught me a lot. But yeah, what an impact that man has had on so many people.
You have some great returning offensive starters, Titan Partlow at QB. You have one of the best running backs I saw in 4A coming back. What should we expect?
You know, I think, like you said, the skill guys have played a lot of football offensively. And, you know, I expect this to be, with what we got, explosive. I expect this to, you know, with that experience, to have that, we should be able to stretch the field vertically and horizontally. You know, we're replacing quite a bit up front. So, you know, that's going to be one of those deals where we got to, you know, morph into – seeing what they can do. But like I said, they played a lot of JV games. You know, if we could play 15 JV games a year, we would. You know, we could only play 8. So we play, you know, they played 16 JV games and then mop up duty in the past 2 years. So, you know, I expect offensively for us to be an explosive group. I really do. And I think our players expect that. You know, our offensive coordinator, Caleb Graham, is, as you guys know well now, what a tremendous job he's done. And it is like you said, every team is different. You know, every offense is different. Every, year is different. So, you have to adjust to your players and who you have and, kind of what, you know, your specialty is, how you can be explosive, how to get players in space. And, you know, Coach Graham always, you know, talks about he never wanted a reason why you couldn't get a guy in a certain position to get him the ball. And, man, he taught me so much in that. And that is true. And so, anyway, offensively, man, I feel good about it. I'm excited. But I'm also with an understanding that it's a progress. It's not just going to all happen. We need to strive each week to get better and not peak, you know, week one, week two off emotion and all this other stuff. It needs to be that, you know, we strive each week, each day to try to improve in what we're doing. How can we do it a little bit better How can we be evaluated on film? Take coaching, take our walkthrough serious when we do our walkthrough stuff. And in our film study, you know, are we going to be locked in kind of player? Are we going to be a mature group? Or is that a time to kind of knock off and not really pay attention? So really, I think both going to be up to the accountability of our players and how we hold them accountable as coaches as well. But I'm really excited about it.
I'm excited to watch. I know a lot of people in North Alabama have their West Morgan game circled because of the offensive power that y'all are fun to watch for sure. Your family, we talked about it several times, and I know that your football, this is a family to you. And like when I walk in here, Tracy and I walked in and listening to the coaches, listening to the players, your leadership team like you had this morning, it's really special to see and feel. You can feel it, the family atmosphere.
100%.
Do you feel it, Tracy?
100%.
It is really cool. So, Coach, kudos to you on what you're doing and the atmosphere that you have brought into this building and what you've just brought to me and what you brought to the listeners so far is the family-like atmosphere.
100%. But one thing that if there is a young coach or somebody that's aspiring to be a coach, there's two segments of this interview so far. When he talked about the community involvement, and then when he just talked about the aspect of making it matter to the players, guys, if you use those two aspects of this interview as your roadmap, you're going to be a successful coach, no doubt.
What would be a piece of advice that you give somebody that would like to be the next Coach Drew Phillips?
Well, I appreciate that, guys. Seriously, I'll tell you this, the family environment, that starts with how we start our day. The guys come in each morning and we're not kicked up with our feet up as coaches. We're out welcoming, fist bumping as they come in, speaking life over them. Because, you know, I feel like that's important that our guys understand and our parents understand when they're dropped off that they're in a good situation, you know. But a piece of advice that I would give to an aspiring young coach is work your rear end off where you're at to start with, because where you're currently at is your resume. You know, a lot of people think that if I can put a beautiful resume together, if I can make it look good, sound good, put a thing in there, you know, this or that and the other, that it'll give me an opportunity. And it could. All right. But maybe at the wrong place. You can have all the Google Drive saved and all the practice plans you want, but until you're working where your feet are, being the best you can there, I think, and maximizing your potential and the role you're doing, you know, instead of looking at all the exterior things, I think that would be my main focus. I wanted to be the best assistant coach for Alan Creasy and Cody Gross that I could be. And what happened was those guys empowered me. Okay. They put me in position. So get around, there's a couple of things. Get around good people. Cody Gross let me run the weight room at the middle school at Athens. And then I got to run the weight room at the high school at Athens. And then I got to be a play caller. All right. But before that, I was a JV B team play caller with him. So, you know, those guys empowered me because I was doing what I was supposed to do. I felt like within the position that I was supposed to be doing it to start with. Once they see you're doing that and taking ownership, you know, they allow you and grow you. And that's kind of what it is. So being around good people, being the best you can be in what you're doing right now is of extreme importance. And that worked for me. And then, you know, the last thing is chasing the heart of your players is so huge. You know, we all like to draw a power counter, the bubble, you know, post wheel cross, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's fun. There's no question about it. But being able to chase the heart of your players and understand what they're capable of, both as a human, okay, and then as a player, once you chase that, those things kind of fall in line schematically. So, you know, I think those things are very, very important.
Coach, sitting here listening to you talk, and I look behind your shoulder, I see pictures of games and family and newspaper clippings. I see one that says, be the player. Is there a motto or anything that you use year in, year out to try to make a difference in these players' lives and, you know, teaching them to be not only great football players, but, you know, great men, great family men, great members of the community? Is there a catchphrase or a motto that you guys use around here?
You know, we say all the time, when something bad happens, play the next play. When something great happens, play the next play. And how we're going to do it over and over and over and over and over. And our guys can repeat that. We do it for every game. And, In fact, it's in our English teacher. She liked it. She saw a video. She's got it printed in her classroom. When something bad happens, what are we going to do? Play the next play. Something great. What do we do? Play the next play. How do we do it over and over? And so, you know, I think that's life. I mean, my goodness, man, the amount of times that I have messed up and had to play the next play.
And not just in football, but just in anything.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. That's what I mean. I mean, you know, and then when something great happens, it's hard not to stay in that moment because it may be so great. But then that creates complacency because you're not playing the next one. And so I think that's the message that our guys understand and they get played through as part of the game. But like you said, you know, one day they're going to be running a family and they're going to be trying to sustain a job. And there's going to be so many highs and lows. And when those things happen, what do you do? And you just play the next one. And so, you know, and doing it over and over. You know,
I love it, Coach. I know you're really busy. It's that time of the year. You're gearing up. You know, you have summer workouts. You got a lot going on. So it really means a lot, Coach, that you took the time for us to come see you here at your office, which is a great facility, by the way. Kudos on that. And but thank you so much for pouring your heart out to us, spending some time with us, sharing a little bit about who you are, your community, and really means a lot. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Coach Phillips, just one last question. When you take a look at the West Morgan community and Trinity and the and surrounding areas, and you've seen a tremendous growth over the last few years, in your opinion, I know you alluded earlier that you've got all your family over here now, everybody's in at West Morgan. What do you think makes this such a great place to call home?
I think it's the blue-collar, hard-working mentality of the people in Trinity. I think it's the leadership, again, the servant mentality from guys like the mayor and the principal, and that leadership is incredible. And so you have no choice but to either get in line and be a servant leader or get out. And I think that trickles down to our players. They have parents and aunts and uncles and grandfathers who are hard-nosed, tough-working, individuals. And so, you know, now you got other players that would coach year one coming back and pouring in. And so it's becoming a program, you know, that I'm hoping we can sustain. Not hoping, we're going to do everything we can to keep it that way. But I think that's what makes it special. It's that tight-knit community of people that are competitors, supporters. You know, you're not getting a ton of distractions, things going on that's taking away from our guys. You know, we're kind of in our own little world over here. And I like it just like that. So,
yeah.
You know, those sort of things. And, you know, I tell our guys, you know, like you said, call this place home. I love my job. You know, we get to, we don't got to. And, you know, there's two types of people, those that look forward to Mondays and those that don't. And I love Mondays because of this place. And, man, we get to do this thing. So, you know, it's all perspective. And these guys here have a great perspective.
I mean, I literally think of the mayor of Trinity with a rain bird irrigation screwdriver. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
He keeps one in his pocket because if Wes Morgan needs an irrigator, he's there. I got it, Coach. I got it. And that's just the way off of the stories I think about Trinity now.
You said blue collar, and you mentioned the coach earlier, your offensive coordinator, Caleb Graham. And I don't know, is there a harder worker coach? I mean, he is 100% committed, and that's got to mean a lot to you as well.
It does. It means the world. And I know it ain't going to last forever. Nothing does. But, you know, a guy like him, he's had the opportunity to be a head coach, and he's going to get more. And I will do everything in my power to help him. Deep down in my heart, I want what he wants. So, yeah, extreme competitor, hard worker, attention to detail, empowers the people around him, and just does a great job. I mean, he's a fierce competitor. He will cut your throat to win. And that's what makes him great. And he's a great teacher. You know, I'm pretty high strung, wiry going. You know, he can sit back and kind of, all right, process things a little bit better from that perspective. And just does a great job. And Brian Stiles, our defense coordinator, I mean, he's been in a while, and you know, he was at Bob Jones for those 11 years when they had the big run they had as their DC, and was able to get him from year one. Just empowers people around him. I mean, people want to work for these guys. You know, I'm the head coach, but they're the head coach of the offense and defense, and they truly are that. I stay out of it. I don't have to do it. I'm coaching culture, attitude, you know, body language, who you bring in with you, the weight room. But our staff as a whole all checks their ego at the door and are really in this thing for the players. And
chasing the hearts.
You know, chasing the heart of people. I mean, Blake Killen, we just hired Blake Killen. He was the head coach at Lexington High School. You know, he came over, he's doing our D-line. The dude's tremendous. And that's, I'm just bringing him up because he's new to our program, but he comes in, he's hugging the guys as they come in the morning because that's the way we do things. And, you know, I'm just so proud of our entire staff.
Man.
You know why they're back-to-back undefeated regular season? Yeah. 40-9 in his first 4 years.
That's crazy. That's all you got to know. 40-9. Well, folks, I hope you've enjoyed this session with Coach Phillips as much as Tracy and I have. Coach, I have loved every second of this. Thank you once again for taking your time out of your busy schedule to talk with us today.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for what y'all do. The energy, the passion, the way in which you do it, you make a difference in a room when you walk in. I ain't just saying it, man. I mean it. You're doing it for the right reasons. And thanks for fighting for a sport. One day, if they try to take it from us, people like you guys have empowered people around you that'll get in line and fight for it too, man. So, I mean that.
Well, we're all, that means a lot to us because we're all in it for the same reason you're in it. We want to pass on an impact and we want to give these kids an experience, you an experience, your parents an experience, your community, your teachers, your faculty, everybody involved deserves that experience. Mm-hmm. So thank you for recognizing that. That means a lot.
Yep. The Friday Night Lights, he described that atmosphere earlier in communities all across the country. And that it is a lot more that goes in to be making those Friday Night Lights.
That's right. It's a lot more than just a whiteboard and X's and O's, folks. And you heard it here at West Morgan High School with Coach Drew Phillips. My time.